Good morning. And to be out of the hot sunshine outside where it's a little cooler inside. I don't know what it was like down at camp at Virginia, but I understand it's probably stifling there as much as it was here. The high humidity and heat indexes were like 104, 105 here for a couple days, so kind of made me miss Phoenix, actually, to be honest with you. It's a little cooler there than it was here, so. But today, with the Lord's help, I'm going to continue my Back to Basics series. I was actually hoping that Brother Joe Greniger would be here this morning. I look forward to his messages and the tradition of him sharing with us after camp. But my understanding is he had some commitments and is in Japan. So we can pray for his travels there. But if you recall the last message that I had just a few weeks back, which I said back to basics there as well, was a lesson titled Learn and Love God's Word. And I gave you a challenge in that sermon to look at Psalm 119, a 22-day challenge, longest psalm in the Bible, 176 verses, that affirmed the authority, sufficiency, and power of God's Word in the life of the believer. And that psalm is broken up into 22 sections, each starting with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Did many of you do that? I hope you did. I hope you did. And I found it very encouraging. We did it in our house, and it was good. It was good. Do it again. 22 days. And when you read that, specifically focus on the affirmation of God's Word in our lives. So today, the question and the title of today's sermon simply is this. What is your soil like? What is your soil like? If you open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark is the second Bible in the New Testament, so if you're unfamiliar with where that's in the Bible, flip to about the middle, just past the middle, you'll get in the New Testament, second book back. Many of you find this passage familiar, parable of the sower, one that we've heard often, but again, we're getting back to basics, right? Back to basics. Let's turn to God in prayer before we look into His Word. Lord, thank You for this opportunity to serve You and to worship You here today. We thank You for the time we've had thus far, a time of prayer, a time of worship through song. And now, Father, we open Your Word and we ask You to reflect Your character on our lives and that we would see how we can change to be more like You. Pray, Father, that these words would come forth with wisdom and power, and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, no coincidences in life, right? Bulletin today. I don't know who picked it. Appreciate the beautiful picture on the front, but I appreciate even more the fact that it's talking about God's Word, and specifically talking about He that heareth my Word. And this parable that we're going to cover today is just that. It's going to talk about different types of hearts that God's Word falls upon. And we'll discuss that in more detail as we go on. But I think about what is your soil like. I want to share you with a little story about soil. I mentioned living in Phoenix for quite a while there, and then Darla and I got married and moved back for a few years. And during those times, Darla wanted a garden. Darla wanted a garden in Phoenix. You all know Phoenix is a desert, right? Okay. Arizona soils have a lot of clay and are very alkaline as a result, so a lot of acid in the soils. And beneath the surface of the soil, there's a very hard-to-penetrate layer called the caliche. Very hard layer. Needless to say, we tried to have a garden on caliche, and needless to say, it didn't do very well. In fact, I don't think the corn ever came up, if I recall. I mean, it might have come up, but there was nothing on it. It was just a big weed. And carrots, well, they were just really short and stubby. They just didn't grow. And I think that we had some lettuce, and we were happy about that lettuce, but it was the most bitter lettuce you've ever had. Just was not good soil in Arizona. Here in Ohio, or differently, is that it is a Miamian soils. The most extensive soils in Ohio occur more than 750,000 acres of the state, and they are a productive soil, very productive with corn, as we know, soybeans, winter wheat, primary crops. The soil here consists of a very deep, well-drained soil, which is high in lime. Very good soil to grow crops in. Some of the best crops are grown here throughout the state of Ohio. What's my point? Complete different areas, right? Complete different types of soil. Both can be used for some purpose, but farmers are not flocking to Arizona to set their farms up. They're doing it in Ohio, Michigan, and the Midwest, where the soil is rich and ready to take that seed, to allow it to sprout and to produce. So today's passage is not about what the soil that is in your yard, but about the soil that is in your heart. This passage is found in all three of the Gospels of Matthew chapter 13, Luke 8, but we're going to cover it in Mark chapter 4. And I'd like you to read along with me, Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 1. He began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into the boat in the sea and sat down, and the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and was saying to them in his teaching, "Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the road, on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold." And he was saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." I'm going to stop there. We're going to also keep your Bibles open. We'll be looking at the explanation of this in the verses 13 through 20. In fact, actually, we're going to read them right now. Let's just jump down to verse 13. "And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, they're the ones on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, who when they heard the word, immediately received it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, when affliction and persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones on whom seed is sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold." Read through verse 20. This parable, Jesus talks about four specific places the seed fell. First, let's define what the seed is. The seed is the truth of God's word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So the seed is God's word, right? The seed is God's word. I want to preface this perhaps at the beginning of this, because in the discussion with Darla, about the topic today, she's like, you know, I always looked at this passage as the seed being the gospel. Well, sure, it's the gospel. But the seed is God's word. All of God's word. Where is God's word falling? And this is what the parable is explaining. Where does God's word fall depends on how the receiver is going to be able to act out or live what the word is teaching them. So God's word, the seed, is living. That's what Hebrews 4:12 tells us. It is living. That means it grows. It develops in us. It's not stagnant. It tells us that it is sharp. It cuts us to the core. It cuts for healing, and it cuts for correction. It tells us that it is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's word is able to judge the intentions and the thoughts of the heart. What are the intentions of your heart? What are the intentions of your heart? See, this is where the result of where the seed falls is going to be defined by understanding the intentions of our heart. Is your heart prepared and ready to receive the molding and teaching of Christ through His Word, the seed? Or is your heart hard and focused only on self-preservation and gain? Does your heart have the right intentions? The seed, the Word of God, judges the intentions of the heart. The truth will come out. The true character will show through. The intention of the heart will become evident when the seed is implanted. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 tell us that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The seed, the Word of God, is inspired and written with God's authority. We know that. It is to teach us. It is for reproof, which is reprimand, for rebuke. It is for correction. When we're off path, it gets us back on path. And for training in righteousness. Righteousness being justified and righteous with God. The seed, the Word, when fallen on good soil, will draw us toward God and into His righteousness. When the seed falls on good soil, we're going to be more aligned and closer to God. Ultimately, the purpose is verse 17, for equipping so that we, as followers of Christ, are adequate for good work. So let's go back, well, one more verse for you here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it as not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. So the seed, the word of God, when received, is from God. It's not from man. It will develop a work in us, those that believe in who He is. And we'll be changed people because of it, right? Our lives will be different. So what's the parable of the sower? What's the parable of the sower? Well, the sower went out. The sower is the messenger, tasked with spreading the word of God. That's the preachers. It's the teachers. It's the group leaders. It's the Sunday school. It's the Bible classes. It's the BSF that you're involved in. It's the radio ministries you listen to. The Word of God is being thrown by the sowers. It's being thrown out. The sower went out and sowed the seed. And as he was sowing, some fell, the first one, beside the road. And the birds came and ate it up. Verse 15 explains to us in Mark 4 that these are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. Is your heart soil beside the road? Have you not even allowed the seed, the word, to hit the mark? Satan will destroy the Word of God from taking root in anyone's heart. That's what he will try to do. He will snatch it away by using many tactics. So, is your heart soil not even on the right place, but it's on the path next to where God wants you to be? And Satan will come. He will use doubt. The receiver will doubt that the word is truth or even necessary for their life. Satan will use confusion, that the word contradicts one's personal beliefs and desires. Satan will use ignorance, that as people will choose to ignore or even allow themselves to consider what the truth is. Satan will use criticism and sarcasm and blame to keep the word from landing on the soil. Where is your heart? Satan will use whatever he can to steal away the seed. Number two. Verse 5, other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And explained in verse 16, in a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who wear their heart, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, when affliction and persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. Is your heart's soil rocky? Is it rough and full of obstacles? Are you one that gets excited and inspired when you hear God's word and you think it's great, but then your heart's hunger and desire for a deeper level of understanding that never comes? You feel convicted to make a life change. You start to do for a short period of time, but you find you aren't interested in reading or having a desire to learn from God's word or to take any action. When you hear the word, the seed, it does not sink in. You don't meditate on it. You don't dwell upon it. You don't look at ways to apply it to your life. You don't reread and think in depth about it. If not, your heart is like rocky soil. When the soil is shallow, when the word does not take deep root, when the storms of life come, they easily sway the direction of your spiritual well-being, right? Verse 17 says, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. Why? Because if we don't have a deep-seated foundation to our faith, then the misguided ideology of this world shakes us to the core. Right? You know what I'm saying by that? If you don't know what the Bible says, you can't apply that to your heart, and you don't believe what it is, every theology that's out there is going to rattle your cage. Everything. Right? You're going to be running after this and that and whatever it is because you think it's all truth. That's the soil that's rocky. And it's rocky because it doesn't have any depth to it. Past week we've had some scorching sun, haven't we? The sun is relentless. It doesn't stop. Middle of the day, 3 o'clock, I'm ready for it to be over. It didn't stop. It kept getting hotter. Right? Kept getting hotter. That's the attacks of the evil one on our lives. That's the attacks that we're going to have in this world. That's the attacks that happen from our peers and from where we work and from higher education, all the places that we're at that are trying to break down who God is. They're relentless. The glare doesn't stop. The sun just keeps bearing down and it drains us of everything. That's how this life can be when your soil is rocky. When it's shallow, has no depth to it. Number three, other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Verse 18 explains, and others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word. But the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Is your soil thorny? Is your soil thorny? Is your life and heart filled with many things and concerns that you are not able to see clearly or allow the seed to survive once planted? Does the cares and worries of this life choke out the only survival you have, which is truly faith? Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. See, faith demands us to be able to accept truth and to apply that truth of God's word when it may not logically, from a worldly perspective, make any sense. Right? That's what faith is. Being able to take something that has a belief in who God is and what He's asking you to do and apply it to your heart when all earthly logic says, that doesn't make sense. It demands us to live and follow a path that seems unsure, perhaps, and even difficult. See, the problem with the soil that has thorns is the soil is not pure and that it has too many thorns that will not support healthy growth. So what thorns are in your life that has not allowed the seed to thrive? What thorns are in your life today that has not allowed the seed to grow and thrive? Pursuit of money? Pursuit of love? Pursuit of success? Pursuit of knowledge? Pursuit of relationships? Pursuit of, you fill in the blank. What thorns are in the way and not allowing the seed to flourish? Jesus said in verse 19, the seed, the word, gets choked out by the deceitfulness of money, of riches. See, money is deceiving because it seems like if we have more of it, we're going to be happy. We'll be stress-free. We'll have no problems. Yet that is deceiving. Because money does not buy the things that we desire most in life. Time, love, happiness, and peace. Money doesn't buy. Riches cannot attain. Yet those are just a small laundry list of the thorns that we allow in our lives that choke the seed out. Jesus said the desire for other things choke out the seed. The desire for something different than God's word and who He is and His character choke out the seed. What have you placed in your life that you actually desire more than God? What have you placed in your life? You think you desire God more, but what have you placed in your life that you really desire more than God? See, the Word teaches us the intentions of our heart. See, we're not told that the seed dies here. We're just told that the seed doesn't produce fruit. It's not effective. It's not living to what it's supposed to do. It's not reaching the potential that God intended it to do. It's unfruitful. Brothers and sisters, when you allow things in your life that distract you from serving and loving God with your whole heart, you're choking out the seed. Then it makes the seed non-productive and basically has no use. Will you allow God to weed your soul today? Your soil, and to remove the thorns and the weeds that distract and take your attention and time away from Him who must be central and His Word which must be our guide. Right? It's got to be the focus. All right, the fourth type of soil. Other seeds fell into good soil. As they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100 fold. Explained in verse 20, and those are the ones whom seed was sown on the good soil. Well, they hear the word and they accept it and they bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Do you have good soil in your heart? Do you have good soil in your heart? Good soil is soil that provides the nurturing and environment for the seed to flourish. In good soil, the seed has the soil it is needed to grow and produce results. Good soil hears the Word of God and accepts it. Do you hear and accept God's Word in its entirety? Your acceptance would be defined by your desire and action to live according to its teaching. Right? If you say, yeah, I accept God's word, then your life is going to show that. Right? Or do you pick and choose the parts of God's word and only live by the parts that align with your theology? Right? That's a tough one, isn't it? Because we sometimes read God's Word and we come across a passage or something, we're like, well, you know, I know what it's saying, but that's not good soil. That's not good soil. I'm not talking about somebody standing at this pulpit or in a Bible class and misguiding you on what the Word says. I'm talking about what the Word says and you picking and choosing to live by what you think is going to fit your lifestyle. Right? Justifying that it's okay, even though it contradicts what God's Word has taught you, because you think you're happy. It's what you want to do. That's not good soil. Healthy soil will produce a crop that is evident. It will bear fruit that is representative of the seed's genetic makeup. Hear that? It's going to produce fruit that is representative of the seed's genetic makeup. The crop it will bear will be 30, 60, 100 fold. It's going to bear, though, what it's meant to grow. Apple seeds, don't produce bananas. Right? Tomato seeds don't produce cucumbers. I'm always amazed at how one kernel of corn can produce a corn stalk that grows dozens of ears of corn that produce multiple dozens of kernels of corn that can start the whole process all over again. Right? How the seed from an apple, when planted in good soil, will grow a healthy apple tree that will produce hundreds, if not thousands, of apples over its lifetime, and within each apple, a half dozen seeds that are capable of doing exactly the same thing. It will bear fruit that represents of the seed's genetic makeup. Healthy, prepared, and ready soil will allow the seed to be planted and will in turn see the results and growth of that seed, God's Word, in our lives. Is your heart soil prepared for the sower's seed? Will you allow your heart to be accepting and then see the fruit that that seed will produce? Many of you here today are coming off a week of camp. Maybe it was a week ago you came off camp. Each Sunday you have the opportunity to attend a Bible class or a corporate teaching like this, a sermon. Perhaps during the week or a few times a month, you have the opportunity to be in a small group and you're hearing God's Word. Maybe like in our home, you got a radio on. And there's some teaching come across that radio through Moody Bible or whatever station you listen to. The sower is sowing the seeds. Is your heart hearing and ready to receive them? How is your soil? Is it missing the mark, the rocky, the thorn-filled, or is it the healthy and ready? What soil do you have? See, I want to explain here. That, it's not just about salvation, about the seed. It's God's Word. Right? And my opinion is, if I asked you right now to take a look at this list of four items and say, well, where's my heart at? We're going to have somebody that's in every category here. Would you agree? Yeah, for sure. Would you agree with me that your own life falls into one of those categories at one time or another? Absolutely. You could be saved by grace and living 40 plus years in the church and you could still have seed falling on the wayside. Right? Or seed that's being choked out by thorns. Or seed that's in rocky soil because your heart has gotten hardened because of something that happened in the church or something you're upset about or something that you didn't like and it's killing the opportunity for the Word to grow. Killing it. That's what Satan wants. You get that? He wants us to be in stages 1 through 3 of the soil. He wants us to be living in one of those categories because then the Word is not effective. And we're not living to the potential that God wants us to, which is really what we should desire the most. We need to be doers of God's word, James teaches us. James chapter 1, he says, but prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. If you are a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. Once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, at the word, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. See, hearers only delude themselves. That means, they're watered down and they're weak. Their soil is 1 through 3, somewhere in that category. Probably 1. Fallen on the wayside, Satan snatching it away before it has a chance to even hit the mark. Hearers only like the one looking into a mirror and forgetting what he looked like. And the second you turn away, you forget who you really are. See, that's also what God's Word does. It tells us who we really are. Sharper than two-edged sword. It's painful sometimes to see a reflection of who we really are. But that word, that sword, will cut away and help us heal to get where God wants us to be. A doer is the one, on the other hand, who looks intently at the Word of God and gains knowledge from it, applies it to our lives, and learns from it, abides by it, not forgetting what has been planted and taught. Then we will be blessed. How is your soil? How is your soil? I challenge you today. If you don't have healthy soil, don't just throw up your hand and say, oh well, can't do anything about it. Read God's Word. Meditate on it. He's convicting you of something that you need to make different in your life. Make it change. Do it today. Looking at these rows of people that came from Eastern Camp, I watched all those sermons. If you're not motivated to change your life today, I really feel bad for you. How is your soil?